Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. We've recently had some guests on ID the Future talking about the new film by Illustra Media titled Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. And we have another very special guest to come on the show with us today, Dr. Stephen Dunbar, professor of biology at Loma Linda University, who specializes in sea turtle research. And he's going to talk about his role in the film Living Waters and some of the research that he does at Loma Linda University. Dr. Dunbar has a PhD in marine biology from Central Queensland University in Australia. He also is director of some of the graduate programs here in biology at Loma Linda. And he also is involved with sea turtle conservation and conservation efforts. He'll tell us more about all of that. So, Dr. Dunbar, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for the invitation to be involved with your program. As you mentioned, my name is Stephen Dunbar, and I am the Graduate Biology Program Director for the graduate program here at Loma Linda University in the Department of Earth and Biological Sciences. And as well, I am the founder and president of the Protective Turtle Ecology Center for Training, Outreach, and Research, the acronym of which is PROTECTOR. It's a small nonprofit organization that is really focused on sea turtle research and conservation in the country of Honduras.
That sounds like really fun research that you do. That actually was my first question, was sort of what do you do here at Loma Linda? But could you tell us a little bit more about your sea turtle research? What do you study? How did you get involved with sea turtle research?
Sure. The way I got involved with sea turtle research was really essentially providential, I think, accidental. But I was in Honduras undertaking some contracts for U.S. Agency for International Development. And while doing that project, came across a resort owner who was buying turtles back from local fishermen to save them from being killed, and essentially didn't know what to do with them. So he asked me if I would be interested in starting a turtle research project, a conservation project, after which we started the PROTECTOR organization. So we really started from the ground up. And since 2006, when that work began, we've been doing different kinds of research projects with sea turtles in the country. Everything from satellite tracking, nesting females from the nesting grounds back to their feeding grounds, as well as now doing some more recent research on photo identification of turtles, using photos to be able to re-identify turtles time after time. We've also been doing some genetic work on sea turtles, looking at multiple paternity in hatchlings. Turtles are able to do some amazing things, and one of those is females being able to actually fertilize a nest of eggs with sperm from different males, so that the hatchlings that actually come out of that single nest may have two or three different fathers within the one clutch of eggs. So we've been looking into some of that in some of our turtle species that we do research on. More recently, we have also been investigating the impact of scuba divers on sea turtle behavior, as well as looking at the habitat use of juvenile turtles, especially in one of the marine protected areas down there on the island of Roatan in Honduras. But essentially, we have been working throughout the country on various projects between myself and my graduate students.
Sounds really fascinating, Dr. Dunbar. I know that your research on sea turtle was discussed in the film Living Waters. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But I mean, this sounds like really fun research. You get to go down to the Caribbean and study sea turtles. To what extent are sea turtles endangered? I mean, are they at risk of going extinct? Obviously, they're pretty slow-moving creatures, so they don't get away from predators like humans very easily, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's correct to some extent. Actually, sea turtles tend to be fairly casual when you see them, observe them in the water, although when they need to, they can move very quickly, they can escape predators, they do have some anti-predatory behaviors that are very unique to them. But we have only 7 species of sea turtles around the world, and in Honduras, we're fortunate to have 5 of those 7 species. One of the others is only occurring around Australia, and that is the flatback. And the other that we don't have in Honduras is the Kemp's Ridley turtle that only occurs in the Gulf of Mexico. So aside from those two, we have the other five species that are around the world. And all sea turtle species are either threatened or endangered or critically endangered. So there is the potential for some of those species to be lost, certainly within our lifetime, if we're not taking care of the planet and not doing our part to care for the creation.
So if we could talk for just a minute about your involvement in the film Living Waters. Obviously, that film focuses on a number of different kinds of sea animals, looks at dolphins, looks at whales, looks at salmon, looks at sea turtles. How did you get involved with the film Living Waters, and what did you talk about in that film?
Well, because the film Living Waters really emphasizes quite a bit of the science of some of these organisms, whales, dolphins, sea turtles, salmon, I was approached because my area of specialty is working with sea turtles, and we have done some work on migrations of sea turtles. So some of the emphasis in the film was really about some of the unique characteristics of sea turtles and their ability to migrate. One of the special things about sea turtles that we have not been part of the discovery of this, but we certainly know about this, is their ability to migrate and be able to detect magnetic fields essentially from the time that they hatch. So this is not something that's necessarily a learned behavior. They're not following another adult. They're not taking time to learn about magnetic fields, but they're actually able to detect them immediately after hatching. And so to be able to use that process, leaving the nesting beach, these hatchlings for the first time getting into the ocean, and then being able to essentially record magnetic fields as they move offshore and float around various oceans, and then to be able to 15, 20, 22 years later be able to take that magnetic map and turn it around in their brains and follow that back to the same beach that they hatched from is very, very amazing. And so it's one of the areas that sea turtle biologists have been studying for some time now, but still many discoveries yet to be made as to how that actually happens.
That's absolutely fascinating, Dr. Dunbar. I should have told you this before the interview, but my background actually was in paleomagnetism. So I know that the Earth's magnetic field, it kind of looks like a bar magnet aligned with the spin axis of the Earth, but not quite. There are little variations and ripples here and there. You'll even get occasional spots where it's supposed to be north and instead it's south. So the sea turtles, they know these fine small variations and they can remember them to find their way back to their birth location, essentially. Is that sort of what's going on here?
Yeah, essentially that's what's going on. You have, in reality, two different situations. Some turtles, which are hatching off their natal beaches, have never been into a particular situation. They've never been in the water before. And so as they are simply drifting around, usually on mats of algae, they're being able to pick up those magnetic fields and essentially lock those into the brain as we would a waypoint in a GPS. Now, that's a little different situation than some of the turtles that, for instance, hatch off the coast of Florida and are caught up into the Atlantic system. In that case, they end up drifting northward from Florida in these particular currents. And for some reason, they're able to know when to leave a northward current and turn to the right, in other words, turn to the east and head towards the west coast of Europe. So in that kind of a situation, it almost appears as though there's a list of waymarks with some of them highlighted. In other words, as they're going along, they're kind of checking off these magnetic waymarks. But at some point, there has to be a switch that says turn to the east. And then when they're over on the east coast and they start growing up in those areas, they're in their foraging grounds, as they want to come back to Florida to nest, they've got to now come west and then in the Caribbean turn to the north to be able to get back to Florida. But they've never been to these places before, and so there needs to be something in their brain processing that tells them that at this particular waymark, you need to turn east. At this particular waymark, you need to turn south. At this waymark, turn north. So we don't know exactly how that happens, how that works, but we certainly know that if those waymarks are not there, they're going to drift north into cold waters and probably die. So again, that's a really unique and amazing feature that is very difficult to explain, but certainly demonstrates that there's something intelligent going on there.
Absolutely fascinating. So all you need to do is find a planet just like Earth without a magnetic field and then put the sea turtles in there and see if they can find their way, right? I mean, that's how you would test this. No, I mean, it is very difficult to test exactly how they're using the magnetic field, I would imagine. I mean, I know with some worms that use the magnetic field to burrow, they can switch the field on the worms and they'll burrow in the wrong way. But how do you do that with a sea turtle? I mean, it's not that easy to study, I would imagine.
Yeah, you're right. But there have been some really unique and very elegant research projects done by Kenneth Lohman, who is at Chapel Hill. And he has worked both with hatchlings as well as juveniles and some adult turtles. And he has quite a nice setup there where they have basically pools that they can put these little hatchlings in with a magnetic setup so that they can change the orientation of the magnetic field. And from the moment these turtles hatch, they put them into these swimming pools. They're swimming in a, for instance, in a northwest direction. They change the magnetic field, and then this turtle will right away change its direction to be appropriate to that magnetic field. So some really unique and elegant experiments have been done so that we know these turtles are really not just randomly moving, but they're actually detecting these fields and responding appropriately so that they're not taken out of the currents that they need to be in.
Wow. Okay. Boy, do I feel stupid. That's amazing. What an incredible way to study this. And I won't even ask the question of what they think happens when the Earth's magnetic field flips, like it does every couple hundred thousand years. I'm sure that's a question that they're still working on, or nobody's going to easily find the answer to.
Yes, I'm sure that that is a difficult question to answer. And of course, the belief is that turtles have been around for a long, long time, and so assumedly they have experienced these flips before. But of course, we don't know how they've responded in that way. But certainly areas for interesting research still to come.
Well, who knows? Maybe if the field flips, we'll get to see it ourselves. But that doesn't look like it's happening anytime soon. Okay, well, Dr. Dunbar, this has been a fascinating conversation. Just really briefly to close this out, your research on sea turtles obviously was discussed in the film Living Waters, and you had some great comments that you made there. I'm sure that there's a lot of students that have seen this film, and they might be thinking, boy, this would be a fantastic way to spend your life doing research. Go down to the Caribbean and, you know, do research down in the water there. But what advice would you give to, say, a student who is interested in getting involved with marine biology research, maybe sea turtles, maybe something else? But what advice would you give to a student who wants to go into marine biology? What should they be thinking about, and what should they be doing?
Any student who is interested in pursuing a career in marine biology really needs to be set and focused on, at the very least, getting a PhD. Really, that's kind of the bottom line for any students that really want to take this on as a career. Certainly, students can be involved, or people can be involved in marine research at a different level if they have a bachelor's or master's degree. But to be able to be the kind of person who actually designs and carries out the research and kind of has the opportunity to answer some of those really interesting questions, having a PhD, learning how to do research is really critically important. And then the part I would say after that would be to get involved as much as possible while you are an undergraduate student or while you are a high school student in volunteering and in getting involved with a program where you can actually get some hands-on experience in the water, learning to scuba dive, learning to work with animals, with marine habitats, and then just pursuing that with a passion. And so I think that's really the way to go for someone who's interested in following a career in marine biology.
That's great. Do you guys have opportunities like that here at Loma Linda University for people to get involved with that kind of research?
Yes, actually we do. We have what we call the Summer Undergraduate Research Program, or the SURP program. And as well, as I mentioned before, my little organization called Protector can be found on the web. but we have an intern program that's mostly for upper high school or more so university students. There are certain limitations to the ages that we can take, but we do have an intern program for students who would like to come down and spend the summer, spend anywhere from 4 to 6 to 10 weeks down there working hands-on with us, with myself and with my graduate students on actually doing sea turtle research.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So in other words, you're saying you don't have to have a PhD to go down to the Caribbean to do research, but it certainly would help. So yeah, okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Stephen Dunbar, talking about your research on sea turtles, which was featured in the film from Illustra Media, Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. Thank you so much, Dr. Dunbar, for coming on the show with us today.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for the invitation. It's been just a pleasure to be able to sit and chat a little bit about my research and about the opportunities we have to do the kind of research that we do. I think it's fascinating, and just invite anybody who's interested to come and join us.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, again, the film is titled Living Waters, Intelligent Design in the Oceans of the Earth. It's from Illustra Media. You can check it out online, and it's a great way to learn about sea creatures and how they show evidence for intelligent design. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.